Bring the meeting to order. We do not have a quorum, but if you're ready with the presentation, we could begin. Ms. Bell, if you would please, if you would state your name for the record, please.
Of course. My name is Peter Bell. I am chair of the Metropolitan Council, and to my right is Natalio Diaz, who runs our transportation services at the council. I believe we have some material that has been passed out. Yes.
Chief, is that it?
If it pleases the chair, I would just spend a minute or two reviewing some aspects of our proposed budget and then stand for questions.
That would be great, but excuse me, we do have a quorum at this moment, so Representative Leader has read the minutes and moves that they be approved.
Thank you, Madam.
Any additions or corrections to the minutes? If not, all in favor, signify by saying aye.
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 Opposed? Minutes are approved. Okay, please proceed.
Good. Thank you so much. The focus of my remarks today will be to review the fiscal 06-07 transit part of the governor's transportation budget. A couple of principles I'd like to talk about before getting into some of the specifics about this budget, and then, of course, open it up for questions as the chair deems appropriate. The first principle I think that the committee should understand and that the Met Council looked at in preparation of the budget is a constant effort to provide our transit services as cost effectively as possible. I have often said, I even believe to this committee, that when I came to the Met Council, there was somewhat of a, I was told there was a good news, bad news story. The good news was that we had and still maintain one of the most efficient transit systems in the country. The bad news was that the customer only paid 30% of the cost. The taxpayer paid 70% of the cost. And that is something that I think we have to continue to be vigilant to look at. To that end, the council has commissioned a transit audit to really look at our transit services, not only in a comparison with ourselves, how are we doing in terms of more efficient delivery of our transit services, but equally importantly, how are we doing in terms of delivery of transit services with other transit systems of similarly sized cities. And that audit will be finding its way, or the things from that audit will be finding its way into our transit operations in the not-too-distant future. We have, throughout the past year and a half, done a review of our route structure for about 50% of our routes. And we continue to look at routes that are underutilized and not very efficient to see if we should continue to be providing that service, or can we provide that service in perhaps a more cost-efficient way. And that process is an ongoing and unending one. That is something that is very near and dear to my heart as well as to that of the regional administrator. And the final point that I would make in kind of laying out our budget is to state the obvious, that our transit system, the cost drivers of our transit system, as you would anticipate, our personnel. And in addition to just the cost of salary, health care is a major, major driver of the cost of our transit system. We took, as you all are also very aware, a very painful 44-day strike last year to get some measure of control over our health care costs. But it still is a major factor as we look at our budget. getting to the specifics of our budget, there's a number of things that I'd like to say about it. When you compare the 04 to 05 budget, and you have a copy of it in front of you, I feel very gratified that we were able to get from the governor's proposal a $9 million increase from $363.1 to $372 for the biennium. That's a $9 million increase, or a 2.5% increase. And I think given the pressures that you are aware much more than I on state expenditures, I think this is a strong reflection of the governor's commitment to having a viable, world-class transit system. We provide rides to over 70 million people a year. As you know, we have in our systems plan a projection to increase the ridership by 50% by 2020 and 100% by 2030. Metro Mobility carries 1 million riders as well, and I think that the $9 million increase, which represents a 2.5% increase in our overall transit budget, is a reflection of the governor's commitment, and not just the governor's commitment, but my commitment to transit. As you look at this budget, or as we look at this budget or analyze this budget, it should be understood that the fuel costs are going to be major drivers.
Excuse me, Mr. Bell. I'm sorry to interrupt you. I was trying to grab a representative leader has a question. Is it okay if we take questions as
sure,
we go?
Please.
Okay.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Madam Chair, Mr. Bell, the increase in the motor vehicle sales tax, is that due to an increase in the revenue flow from the motor vehicle, or is that due to a change in the percentage that goes to the transit?
No, there's no change. We get 21.5% of the motor vehicle sales tax, and so there is no change in the budget from 0405 to 0607.
Representative Leader.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Madam Chair, Mr. Bell, Lynn Hall, you say there's no change, but there's a change. Did the governor put in more money than other? Well, you got 250 and you got 255.
Yes, well, that reflects...
Change.
Oh, I'm sorry. Madam Chair, Representative Leader, the figures that you see are the projections in the motor vehicle sales tax that we anticipate, though it is important to note that the February forecast will give us a more up-to-date projection on what that number actually will be.
Representative Leader.
Madam Chair, thank you. In other words, then, actually, there is an increase in the motor vehicle. They're projecting an increase in the sales tax. That's the point I was making.
Yeah, but it's not an increase in the percentage, the 21.5% increase that we get. That's correct.
Yeah, thank you.
Please proceed. Thank you.
As I mentioned, the fuel costs are about $4.5 million for the biennium, and as I mentioned to Representative Leader, that the forecast for MVEST is not in. We also anticipate health benefits as being $14.5 million. Now, this is what you have in front of you is the revenue side of the budget. The expense side is very preliminary. We are anticipating in 06-07 the revenues as being $372 million, $372 million, and then the total for the biennium is $611 million. On the expense side, we anticipate a bit of a challenge here, because our expenses are, and these are preliminary figures that needs to be pointed out, at about $652 million, around $40 million, and the differential between those two we anticipate making up in a number of different ways, some of which were talked about in the principles that I outlined earlier. One is to get our fare box recovery rate back up to 30%. It has been dropping. The amount of fares we have received from the fare box have been dropping since 2000 and since 2001. In 2001, we were collecting about 34% from the fare box. In 2006, we'll be collecting about 29%. As a matter of fact, one of the things I am considering is putting that on automatic pilot, that we get 30% from the fare box, and when we dip below that for a three-month or a six-month period, consideration should be given of a fare adjustment to make sure it stays at a minimum at that 30% level, but that is one thing, is a fare adjustment to make up for that. As I also indicated to you, we are in the process. We've restructured about half of our routes. We are looking at the rest of our route structure, and we anticipate being able to make up some of our revenue from that as well. We don't have the MVEST February forecast, so we're not sure what that will bring in, and if you can tell me what the price of gasoline is going to be 2 years from now, you're a much better economist than I am. We're just not sure what that's going to be. And we have not negotiated our contract with our labor union. That contract is up at the end of July of this year, nor have we locked in our health care costs. Having said all of that, we look at total expenditures as being about in the $650 million range versus the revenues of $611 million. The final point I would make regarding our budget is that the transit funding for 08-09, as you are well aware, the governor, I think, has made a very ambitious funding proposal that would dedicate 100% of the motor vehicle, via constitutional dedication of 100% of the motor vehicle sales tax that would be phased in over a five-year period of time, and transit would get 40% of that, which would be approximately, when it was totally phased in, $100 million a year. And for the first time, transit would have a dedicated hard source of funding. And again, I think that is a commitment or a illustration of the governor's commitment to transit funding. And with that, Madam Chair, I'll stand for questions.
Thank you. Any questions? Representative
Banks. Thank you, Madam Chair. And Chairman Bell, I'm looking at the book we've been provided here for a resource for us. And in the book, your letter indicates that the state funds represent approximately 62% of the total operating funds, with fares comprising 24%. Other sources making up the balance. Could you give me an idea what the other sources are that make up about 14% of that?
Mr. Bell?
The other sources, are you talking about the federal sources or the 2.3%, the $14 million?
I'm talking about the it would be 14% if I add these two. As I understand it on this paragraph here, maybe you don't have that in front of you, sir, but I'm trying to figure out what other sources of revenue you have besides the state funds.
You have the federal. We have federal funds, and those dollars can be used for both capital and operating.
That's where.
And interest, earnings, and the like.
Okay. Thank you.
Any other questions? Representative Holbert.
Thank you, Madam Chair. You talked about the $14.5 million in health benefits. Is that under the current contract, or have you built any inflation or expectation that there would be increased health care benefits in the new contract?
Mr. Bell.
Madam Chair, Representative Holberg, that is what we project under a new a contract. But it is just a preliminary number because we have not sent out the bids yet for that, and it does include an inflationary increase.
Mr. Chair, if I might, maybe it wasn't clear. You're going into negotiations in July.
That's correct.
And during that process, there may be the opportunity to adjust one way or another a set of benefits. So this $14.5 million, does it reflect your current contract plus a little bit inflation, or are you projecting any additional costs as a result of a new contract settlement with your union?
Mr. Bell.
Madam Chair, Representative Holberg, it extends out our current contract with a little bit of inflation. It does not anticipate what kind of resolution we might get with the ATU regarding health benefits.
All right, thank you. And if I might, will somebody else be coming to talk more about the numbers in your presentation if we want to talk about out-year numbers and your current expenditures on your Hiawatha and...
Madam Chair, Representative Holberg, no, I have Mr. Diaz here, though, if we want to drill deep down into the out-year numbers or the expenditures on Hiawatha or in our bus system.
I'm just curious when the right time is to ask some of the questions regarding the operational expenses that we've seen thus far and how they're projecting out, and maybe Mr. Diaz can advise me as to...
Madam Chair,
yes?
Representative Holberg, today we're planning on giving you a very broad overview of what the budget looks like for the next biennium. We are still working, quite frankly, very, very hard to try to pin down some of the numbers that are going to be driving particularly inflation and also, quite frankly, the revenues from the vehicle sales tax. We think that by the middle of March, in other words, in about a month or so, first of all, because we're going to have a new forecast, we're going to have a better sense of what the vehicle sales tax revenues are, whether they are what about the same as what the November forecast did, more or less. And then I think we will have a better sense also of some of these expenditure levels. And so we were hoping that we would be coming back maybe in 3 to 4 weeks or something like that with a lot more detail about these numbers, because as Chairman Bell indicated, the expenditure side is really very preliminary in nature. The $14.3 million, for example, increase in health costs are primarily due, quite frankly, of tremendous increases in the health cost of benefits, not because we're giving more benefits, but because maintaining the same benefits, the costs are extraordinarily escalating extraordinarily rapidly. The same thing is true with respect, for example, to the fuel cost. The $4.3 to $4.5 million increases in fuel costs that we expect for the biennium are not due because we expect to spend a lot more fuel, but because the cost of fuel is going to be more, in our view, more expensive in the 06 or 07 biennium that they were in 04 or 05. So these are the drivers, and I think what Mr. Bell was trying to indicate to you is that these are the very big uncertainties that we're facing, and obviously, as he also indicated, we'll know more about those things as the time goes by, but we are prepared to come back in about 3 weeks or so and give you a lot more detail about that.
That being said, I can understand the issues with the bus funding, but the rail funding is not dependent on a percentage of MVEST. It's dependent on a general fund appropriation. And so I'm assuming that when you put the budget together to present to the governor's office, you had a pretty good idea of how things were going and what factors determined your $9.4 million in operating subsidy for the next biennium. Is that something that you're prepared to talk about today?
Madam Chair, if you want me to, I can certainly address the rail numbers that you are requesting. Right now, we expect the rail expenditures to be in about $38 million for the biennium. In other words, about $90 million per year. And essentially, those expenditure would be assuming no modification to the level of service that we've been providing since December 4th, which is when we opened the line all the way to the Mall of America. So we are assuming under those numbers, same level of service, meaning same number of hours, same number of frequency of service, and so on and so forth. Obviously, one of the things that we may have to do is to take a look at the possibility of making some adjustment in that level of service and maybe bring down some of that cost. And those are the type of things that we're working on. But right now, the overall expenditure side for the rail line is expected to be in the $38 million for the biennium, or $19.3 million to be more precise, for every year.
And if I might, Madam Chair, is the $9.4 million figure that you have here in your 06-07 budget the same as your TALES figures were 2 years ago, or have you adjusted those?
Mr. Diaz.
Madam Chair, Lindsay Felbert, I'm not sure I have that comparison. I would have to check on that and get back to you. I think they are pretty much in the same order of magnitude, but I would have to check on that. I believe they were very much the same, but I don't want to say for sure until I have an opportunity to check with that. I also want to make the comment to Madam Chair, if I may, that number that is being proposed is assuming that Hamilton County will provide an equal match of 50%, so that we will have an additional equal number with respect to what we're getting from state.
Okay, Madam Chair, it's obvious that we're going to need a lot more information before we can put together a budget recommendation for funding these transit systems, and maybe we'll talk before you come back another time with complete information. But I do have a policy question. From time to time, I read in the paper that Metro Transit is offering free or reduced fares for particular community events. And a number of years ago, I made a request on whether or not Met Council had a policy to determine whether they were going to give free rides to the Million Mom March or the Taxpayers Rally or the art show or the whatever, and was informed that there was no official policy, that you took it as a case-by-case basis. As a part of your information that you bring back another time, I would appreciate some kind of analysis of how many times you're offering these free rides for these community events, maybe a list in the last 2 to 3 years, what you have subsidized, what events you're subsidizing with free transit, or if there's some kind of sponsorship that brings in revenue to offset that. I think it's pretty obvious that looking forward, you've got some tight budget times ahead unless there's a radical change in the forecast, and my understanding is that they're likely to get worse and not better, so it may get even worse than what we have here unless we find some other approach. And I'd just like to take a peek at where we're given free rides and what the rationale is for that.
Mr. Shetman indicated to me that we will bring you a list of the occasions in which we have provided some level of special subsidies, but I don't have that with me right now.
All right, and then just maybe they know the answer to this question. You had certain projections for ridership. My understanding is, well, of course, the ridership is up on the Hiawatha line. When I'm reading the articles, et cetera, it seems the large part that's attributed to special events, Twins, Vikings. We've had outstanding use of the line for that. I think many of my constituents are saving money by not parking downtown and parking in Bloomington, et cetera. But what I'm particularly interested is if you have any figures on congestion reduction and what your commuter numbers are, and if you have any numbers on new riders as opposed to just transferring bus riders to the line. And I think those types of evaluation tools will be very helpful for this committee in moving forward to as far as the degree of funding that we're going to be able to do for our budget bill.
Well, I'm sure moving forward I can give you a very preliminary answer to that, and then we can provide you with more specific numbers. You are correct that the special events and weekends have been an enormous positive outcome in terms of the ridership, but I think it's also fair to say that we are ahead of projections on the weekday ridership, and obviously is not maybe as spectacular as the ridership on weekends and special events, but still I think it's very good news that the public in general has been very positive in responding. The original estimates were that about a third the riders were going to be new riders. That was the original projection. We don't have, I believe, right now final numbers on what the actual numbers are. I think there is a lot of work that's been done, so we're trying to be able to answer before and after, to know what was happening before and what's happening after the opening of the line. But my suspicion is because of the increase in riders over and above where we were projecting, that probably it would be a little higher, at least at the minimum, than the one-third. But I cannot give you right now a hard number that I can feel comfortable that I'm giving the right number. So I think the news are good, okay, in general, but obviously I think also I don't want to suggest to you that we can tell you a long-term trend for Hiawatha after only 2.5 months of operating the system. I think we need to have some patience and wait for another few months to make sure that that is a stable trend, as opposed to something that is not as stable as we would like it to be.
Thank you, Madam Chair.
Representative Hornstein.
Thank you very much, Madam Chair. Thank you, Mr. Bell and Mr. Diaz. I am encouraged by, you know, if this budget were to be enacted, that it would be the first increase in 4 or 5 years. And that is good news. But I am concerned about the good points that Mr. Bell raised about the fuel costs, the health insurance, and it seems like with MVEST that's a moving target, but also the federal funding, which is 14%, we learned after Representative Magnus' question. We just have a new federal budget. Have you been able to look at that in terms of, are there going to be cuts to that 14%? And it's my understanding there's still not a transportation bill. So should we have some concerns about that piece of the budget as well?
Madam Chair, Representative Hornstein, we have looked at the federal, what the President's proposal was in the transportation bill, and my understanding is it went up incrementally, quite slightly. I have not personally looked at what that, the whole bill and the subcomponents of that bill and what would come down to us, let alone as it makes, as the President's bill makes its way through Congress. Right. And is apt to get changed in many ways. So we have done, I think it is fair to say, a cursory preliminary analysis of it, but not an in-depth one in any way that would allow me to intelligently comment on how that will impact our budget one way or another. And it's, again, my understanding that those dollars, we have different criteria for how we can use them. Some get used for capital, some get used for operating, some we can make a determination how we would choose to use those.
Thank you.
Any other questions? Would you like to proceed? Or do you have any more presentation, or have you completed?
No. That was it.
Okay. Well, then we'll look forward to the issues that we talked about today and coming back in the future.
Good.
And then we will go to our
thank you.
Expert. Yes, our expert justifier. Hand it out. Did everybody get a hand up? They're coming. Thank you, Mr. Bell and Mr. Diaz. Okay.
Madam Chair, members, a spreadsheet is being passed out. This is going to be some review from the presentations that we've had from the different agencies. What's being passed out is just a spreadsheet, a representation of the governor's budget proposals for the different agencies that you've heard. It's 5 pages. You should all have a copy. And what I'm going to do is just go over rather quickly the different areas and point out any decision items that will be before the committee that the governor has proposed. And if there's any questions, I can take them at any time. Madam Chair, beginning on the first page, the Department of Aeronautics, there is a brief a decision item before the committee, and that is a reduction of $1.9 million in the state airports fund in the current fiscal year, not next biennium. That is due to a shortfall in the fund for this biennium. There was, an oversight in the projections for how much money they would need and to meet the appropriation level. Some of the collections for fuel taxes came in lower than expected, and so they are asking that their budget for the current biennium be reduced by 1.9 so that it balances and that the budget for the next 2 years remains status quo. Moving on to Greater Minnesota Transit, again, this is another status quo budget. They're asking for the same level of funding they ended the last biennium with, $15.8 million of general fund each year for Greater Minnesota Transit. Madam Chair, moving down to freight, there are no decision items under freight, and you see the totals there, the request for multimodal systems from the different funds. Madam Chair, in state roads, there is a request for a debt service increase. This would just increase the appropriation to allow them to meet debt service obligations on outstanding trunk highway bonds that have been previously issued. There is a significant request for to decrease the level in expected road construction for the next 2 years, and most of this is in relation to the lack of federal reauthorization and the inability for the department to use monies made available by the federal government. The decrease is for $133.5 million in 06, $29.5 million in 07, and I believe in the tails years 08 and 09, they would plan on reducing construction by $13.5 million. Madam Chair, on the last item on the first page, infrastructure and operations and maintenance, they're asking for an increase in maintenance funding for $8.625 million per year.
Representative Anderson.
Do you want to take questions now or later?
I think it's fine. Mr. Waltz, it was fine. Is that correct?
Okay. Mm-hmm. On that, the lack of federal reauthorization under the state roads, Mr. Waltz, what areas is the feds really making our backing on?
Madam Chair, Representative Anderson, the 2 years ago, the legislature passed a bill authorizing the state to do what is called advanced construction, and that is to do some construction more quickly than anticipated by borrowing against future federal revenues. The lack of reauthorization has limited the funds coming into the state. They're dealing with temporary extensions right now at the federal level, and that is not producing enough revenue to the state to proceed with the construction schedule that they had requested. And so this is adjusting that construction schedule back to meet the dollars that flow into the state, that are currently projected to flow into the state.
Yeah, Mr. Walls, how many projects does that affect in the state?
Mr. Walls.
Madam Chair, Representative Anderson, to my knowledge, there are only two projects that have been delayed from the initial list of projects that were put forth to the governor or by the governor to the legislature for this advanced construction and accelerated bonding program. I believe those projects, they escaped me for, John, do you remember? I believe they're both in the metro area. One is Unweave the Weave, the 35E project in 694, and the other is a 494.
And 169.
Yeah. Thank you, Representative. It was a 169 interchange project on the western side of the metro area. I don't believe it. They currently have any plans to push back further projects, but depending on the timing of reauthorization, that may change.
Thank you.
Okay, please proceed.
Madam Chair, going on to page 2, there is an increase request for electronic communications of $875,000 per year from the Trunk Highway Fund. That is to meet the state's obligation in maintaining the 800 megahertz public safety radio system that has been constructed in the metro area and keeping up with the maintenance of that system. Moving down to local roads, you see the appropriations for county state aids and municipal state aids. These are the local share of distribution of the highway user tax distribution fund. Madam Chair, in general support is essentially no change budget under department support. Under buildings, the department is asking for a $4 million permanent addition to their base to cover small projects on an ongoing basis, such as truck sheds, truck stations and salt sheds, without having to come to the legislature on an individual basis and ask for those projects. Madam Chair, moving on to the third page, we just heard from Met Council details on their budget. The Met Council is receives a very, very small increase over the previous biennium. They have decided to take a reduction from the previous year's base for 06 of $407,000 and essentially move that into the second year and make the second year's total $800,000, or excuse me, it would be about $1.2 million higher than the previous year, the difference. And the reason an agency would do this is if there is more money in the out years, if you raise the appropriation in the second year, it gives them a higher base going forward into the next biennium. Madam Chair, moving down to public safety, there is no additional request for the Office of Communications, public safety support, or technical support services. Likewise, for State Patrol, commercial vehicle enforcement, and capital security. That brings us to the middle of page four. As we heard, Driver and Vehicle Services is asking for a open and standing appropriation and a vehicle services operating account. The first decision item next to the misspelling vehicle services operating account, they're asking to move to basically take some fees. There are a myriad of fees that they're requesting be increased. Those would be added to this operating account, as well as all other fee collections that currently go to general fund, highway user, and trunk highway funds, and then are appropriated back to them and receive an open and standing appropriation so that they may use those revenues as they come in without having to come before the legislature. Madam Chair, the fees are detailed on the next page, and I'll get to them in a moment. Under the Department of Traffic Safety and Pipeline Safety, there are no requests for any changes from the previous biennium. Madam Chair, there are some appropriations that we make to some contingency funds. This is boilerplate language that's done on an annual basis, and those are at the top of the page. I'm going to skip down to the second section from the bottom, revenue items. These are a detail of all of the dollar amounts that will be received from the particular fee increases. There are many of them where the fund code is listed DVS. These would go to the new driver and vehicle services account and that open and standing appropriation I mentioned earlier. I believe those total about $8 million in annual fee increases, which would be added to their budget. Any of the fee increases labeled DEP is for deputy registrars or driver license agents. These would be fee collections from fees that are raised that would not go to the state but would go to private entities or municipalities that operate driver licensing stations. And second from the bottom, there is a $4 motor vehicle transfer fee increase that the governor has recommended would raise $6.2 million a year. That is directed to go to the general fund to help balance the budget shortfall. And, Madam Chair, other than pointing out the misspelling of expedited, I think that completes the spreadsheet.
Okay, thank you. Any questions? Representative Hornstein.
Thank you, Mr. Chair, and thank you very much, Mr. Waltz. This is extremely helpful. I, You went over quickly that one item just at the end that I wanted to just get a little more clarity on. You said that some of these fee increases would go to municipalities and private entities. Could you, which ones are those, and would it be the entire fee? I just wanted to get a little more amplification on that.
Madam Chair, Representative Hornstein, the governor is recommending, if you look down at total fee increases, roughly $19 million per year in total fee increases in the transportation area. Of that amount, $6.2 million, second from the bottom for the motor vehicle transfer fee, is labeled general fund, GF or general fund. Those would flow to the general fund. Anything with a designation DEP, which was sort of shorthand for deputy registrars or driver license agents. These are other agents that administer the testing or do the transactions, and these would be an increase in their fee collections to help offset their operational expenses. Those would not flow to the state, and those total about $4 million a year.
Okay.
Of the 19, between the 6 and 4, it roughly leaves about another $8.5 to $9 million that would be going to driver and vehicle services as an increase to their budget for the programs that they brought before us that they thought needed more dollars, and in conjunction with that request for an open and standing appropriation.
Great, thank you very much.
Representative Leader.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Madam Chair and Mr. Walz, what's a retainage card fee? What really is that? You know?
Madam Chair and Representative Leader, that was explained to me over the phone. It is a fee, I believe, with the driver's license is split into two portions, and I would actually defer to John Williams on that question.
Mr. Chairman, Representative Leader, I think that that's the percentage of the driver license fee that's retained by the driver license agent. That gets set up differently from motor vehicle registration because there is a separate filing fee that the deputy registrar collects. With regard to driver license fees, I believe that it is a percentage or a dollar amount within the driver license fee that's retained by the agent.
Representative Leader.
Thank you, Madam Chair. By looking at this, and I know this isn't correct, then it would appear driver's license would go up $6, but it's they only go up $3. You go up $3 to the Department of Vehicle Services, a dollar and a half to Department of or the deputy registrar, and there's another dollar and a half to the deputy registrar. So they get a $3 increase, and the department gets a $3 increase. That wouldn't be a $6 increase, so I thought they're going up only $3.
Madam Chair, Representative Leader, we're trying to sort that out. I think it might be dependent on where you purchase the license as to how much the fee is, whether or not it's at a deputy registrar or whether it's at a state facility.
Mr. Chairman, Representative Leader, the current fee for a driver license application when it's made with a driver license agent is $3.50. Mr. Chairman, the budget does show that there is a $3 increase in the driver license fee plus a $1.50 increase in the filing fee.
Madam Chair?
Mr. Leader?
Thank you, Madam Chair. Mr. Williams, the item doesn't pertain to driver's license. That's a motor vehicle license, right?
Mr. Chairman, there is a filing fee for vehicle registration and a filing fee for driver license renewals.
Thanks.
Okay. Representative Anderson, did you have a question?
Thank you, Madam Chair. Mr. Walz, the multiple road test fee. Can you explain what that's about?
Madam Chair, Representative Anderson, the multiple road test fee And I also have to point out another incorrect point on my spreadsheet. The $20 multiple road test fee is after the second road test. You will be charged a $20 additional fee, I believe, for every subsequent road test, both to cover the costs for the Department of Public Safety and to deter people from coming back repeatedly without any practice on their driving skills and just testing every day. Below that is a multiple written test fee. That fee is assessed in the same way for multiple written tests, but I believe it's a $10 increase and not a $20.
Okay. Wow. Madam Chair, Mr. Wells, where's the fee that's going to be charged for drivers who want to use the HOV lane?
Mr. Wells.
Madam Chair, Representative Anderson, that is not on the spreadsheet. I don't have any current proposal from the department or the governor's office pertaining to what those fees would be and how they would be used at this juncture.
Mr. Wells?
Mr. Williams?
Mr. Chairman, Madam Chair, the disposition of revenues from fees from the HOV lane on 394 are already governed by statute, so they would not be included in the biennial budget.
No. Thank you.
Mr. Williams, is there, Governor Bowers is wondering if there was, since we're increasing everything else, I thought maybe we'd be increasing that too.
Mr. Chairman, Representative Anderson, that fee is probably, when the system is operational, that fee could increase or decrease three or four times an hour, so it's not something that would show up in the budget.
Madam Chair,
Representative,
if I might, too, my recollection is the fees generated are dedicated back into that corridor, and so the first revenue raise would go to pay for the cost of the scanners and the things that were put on the road to manage. Collecting the fee, and then I think it was split 50-50 between road improvements and transit enhancements in that corridor that would be above and beyond what Metro Transit would normally be able to provide in that corridor. So, in other words, that we made sure that that money stayed in that particular corridor rather than being just dumped in to the Metro-wide system or into a general fund or...
Thank you.
Madam Chair, the statute provides that after the payment of infrastructure costs related to the setting up of the fee collection system, the remaining money, half is retained by MnDOT for transportation capital improvements within the corridor, and half is then transferred to the Metropolitan Council for transit expansion in that corridor.
Great, thank you for the information. the members pointed out that under the DPS area, page 7, there's more information in your book if you want to check that out. Excuse me, too, and you can read some of the background information. Are there any other questions? Then our next meeting is Thursday, the 17th at 12:30, and the meeting is adjourned.